Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's hour two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3. The Fan, the playmaker Michael Irvin will be joining us momentarily. Usually joins us Mondays at 12:20, but he asked for his time to be moved, so we anticipate him joining us here in just a brief moment. The G-Bag Nation here, 105.3. The Fan. Tough loss for the Cowboys. What do they go, or what, you know, where do they go from here? Got the Philadelphia Eagles coming in Sunday night, a 7:30 kickoff. And that's a tough one right there. We opened up talking about, hey, if Sean Lee and Tyron Smith aren't 100%, how does that affect how you would decide to play them in that game or not? For me, it's an easy one. You know, if they're not 100%, you keep them out, and you got another game coming up in 4 days. You don't want their injuries to beat you twice and what could involve three losses in a row at that point. So it's tough decisions to be made up there at the Star, and the playmaker, Michael Irvin, joins us now right here on your home of the Cowboys. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Hey, guys. What's up? I'm doing okay. How are you guys?
We're doing all right. We're hanging in there. How frustrating was that to watch for you yesterday? What are your takeaways from the game?
Well, it was frustrating. You know, it was very frustrating, especially the vacillation. To seeing the difference in what they look like the last three weeks compared to what you saw yesterday, and it kind of just echoes all we've been talking about. I mean, it's a different game with Zeke in the game, and everything runs off of that. That was ugly all the way around yesterday from the offensive line, and what happened with the sacks, and then certainly Atlanta's offense just cut us up. We gave them too many big plays. That's the one thing they were missing all year, were those big plays, and they were all there yesterday.
So, Michael, as a former player, as a teammate of a guy like Chaz Green, who's having such a tough game on your side of the ball, are you trying to just encourage him as you go to the sideline? Are you getting in his face and trying to motivate him? And I don't know, what do you do with a teammate that's playing that bad?
Well, you know, and I remember when Coach first threw Eric Williams out there and put him out there, and he was having a tough day, you know. But there was a whole bunch of – I think there was a different expectations on that team back then. You know, we were building instead of trying to get somewhere. And yesterday, in the midst of all that has gone on through this season, for Chaz to have to go through that, you know what I mean, to have to go through that, and get all of this brunt of it, man. That would have been tough. That would have been tough. I would have just kept encouraging him to fight. Let's go. Let's go, man. You can handle it. You can do it. Let's go. Let's go. You got to, because he has to keep fighting no matter what. And you got to keep encouraging him, whether it's to fight today or to fight after he gets out of this fight next week. But you have to try to keep encouraging him to fight. But I felt so bad for him. Oh, my God, I felt bad for him. And it just seemed like it kept getting worse and worse. I know it might, and you know, you read other stuff where he's taking full responsibility. But oh my God, man, I just felt bad for him.
Is there anything the coaching staff could have done differently, or what would you have been advocating for if you could have been in charge of the game plan to help him out?
Well, I was thinking about that, like, you know, to get him some more help or get him out of it, right? Because at some point it seemed like it was just a confidence thing, and his confidence was down. Their confidence was up. And maybe it was just time to make a change, to give him a break and everything. And I did think about that. But then I thought, well, I don't know. Because I don't know who else they have on the roster. Maybe what's coming in is worse than what's in there. There's a reason they have him in there, you know. And then it started making me think about the question we were talking about last week. Who is the most important guy? Who would you want back? You remember we talked about, would you want Dez Bryant? Or Tyron Smith,
yeah.
And I talked about that. Tyron Smith is a big miss. That's a big miss, man. You know, especially if he's that one guy that sets the whole line for the day. And it looked like that's exactly what he is.
and you can't get any stops without Lee on the field. So in retrospect, who do you think they missed the most yesterday, Lee, Smith, Zeke?
Who do I think they missed the most yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, listen, I understand that Lee was a big loss, but make no mistake about it. No bones about it. It is definitely Tyron Smith.
So,
it is definitely him. Because with Tyron now, and a solid at least run game and some way to try to slow this ball down, we can slow down the offense on the other side. But without him and what that offense looked like and what the line looked like, yeah, that's trouble.
Yeah, now you're looking at Philadelphia on the schedule. What are you thinking going into that game?
Yeah, that's a scary one. That's a scary one. When you're looking at what you saw yesterday, and what Philly looked like going into the break. Now, here's the thing, though. This whole thing here, this NFL thing, is so crazy. And it's just like the Cowboys, to get up and fight in a game like this, minus the Zeke, and try to come back and try to do something and surprise everybody. But right now, it does not look good. And not just that we took the loss yesterday. It's just what we looked like in the loss yesterday. That's one thing. And you're not going to have Sean Lee next week either. If that hamstring tweaked like that, you're not going to have him next week. So that's going to be an issue going against Philly also.
So, and then here's the deal, is that Jalen Smith comes in and takes over, and then they become a horrible team against the run. Do you just keep playing him even though he physically can't play in the NFL? Or do you just say, look, we're going to go with Wilson and we're going to go with Hitchens because physically they're fit enough to play in the NFL and your leg is obviously not fit enough to play?
Well, it depends on where your mind is right now for your team. And I think they're still, because this season's not over. A lot of teams, especially all the wild card teams, they all have issues. Every team that looks like it's about their wild card team in the NFC will have some issues. It's just a matter of can you keep things together these next 5 weeks until you get the best player back in the NFL. And if you think you still got a shot at doing all of that, then you got to try to find the best player to get on the football field. If you think that's no longer the possibility, and I don't think that's what they're thinking right now, way too early for that, then you start trying to get people reps. Right now, the Dallas Cowboys should be trying to win football games because they're still in the fight.
It's Michael Irvin here with us on The Fan. Okay, how about Zeke out of the country? What do you think about that one? That was a fun story yesterday, wasn't it, for me in Rappaport?
Yeah, and what I really thought about it, probably the best thing for him, because we don't want to go through this Where's Waldo thing with Zeke. Everywhere he is now, somebody's reporting where he is, and the Cowboys lose a game. Well, Zeke's over here watching the game at a bar, having a drink. The Cowboys had a bad day of practice. Well, Zeke's over here. Yeah, maybe getting away from it all is the best thing for him for a moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To get and not have those cameras look for him and follow him everywhere over here in the country. I'm not saying get out the country and cut one loose or get loose or do anything, but you can go find you some peace.
I would have to imagine it might be quite motivating to find peace and work hard, considering he might have just got a lesson that the courts won't even help him against this league, and it's not enough just to not be guilty of anything by law. You almost have to be paranoid about it and constantly vigilant, and of course it's not fair to the players. We talk about that, but could this be an opportunity for Zeke maybe to make some adjustments to further ensure that he will be available in the future?
There's no doubt he's considering all of his journey and what has gotten him there. There's no doubt about it. And it's one thing people are just talking about it during the offseason, and you may be getting suspended here, you may get suspended there, and all of that stuff. It's a whole other thing when that thing sets in and when it starts. And when you're watching your guys get out there and play, and you're seeing things, it's like, oh, I would have done this. Oh, I could have done that. Oh, man. I should have done this. It just starts getting to you and eating at you. So So, yeah, this will be a time of reflection for him. I promise you that. And week one was one thing. Week two and three, it's going to be something else because you'd be like, man, I've been sitting down two or three games, and it seems like an eternity when you're not playing, an eternity. This will be a time that he thinks about a lot of things, and hopefully, you're right, he sees him that way.
Do you expect him in better shape, about the same as when he left?
Well, if he's about the same, that'll be great. You know what I mean? It'll be great. It's hard to get in better shape than you were because he was in football shape.
Okay.
Because there's no way we can sit and simulate that. There's no way, you know, it's not just about running. It's about running and hitting and running again, putting your body through all of that, running your body into other bodies. So it's a way more difficult thing than to get in shape for it. And we're just out here running around. So if he comes back just somewhere near where he was when he left, then he can work his way back in the real, real football shape. That's about the best you can ask.
Michael, early in the game, Dez Bryant had an impact, and then as the offensive line broke down, obviously there wasn't much of an impact with any wide receiver. Is there anything that you would do different in these next five games that Dez Bryant is now by far your best playmaker to try to get him the ball and make more plays?
Yeah, and I tell you what, though, early on you could tell that they knew that Dez was going to be the catalyst. We almost got that one ball that got tipped, almost got intercepted, I believe, would have been a pick six. Had that ball not gotten tipped, and we're trying to go to Dez in the post route towards the end zone. You know, you have to be very careful with that. Very careful. It was almost like we had, well, no doubt, it wasn't almost like we had. That's exactly what we said. We're going to use our best talent, our best weapon, and that was Dez Bryant, the ball. We have to be more careful. We have to do more things with Dez during this time because I think the only way you can move forward is you got to shore up that offensive line, but you got to use the passing game to open up the run game now. If that run game is not going to be able to open up pass games, it's pass game, got to open up run game, and they got to get that right.
Mike, let's talk about the positives. Miami beat the brakes off Notre Dame. Is the U back?
Man, it's a rhetorical question after you beat the brakes off Notre Dame. They're back in the fight, and that's all you're trying to get to right now. I told Blake, the AD, man, for us to have had the peaks that we've had at Miami. And then the last few years, some of the valleys that we had, we back in a game of that magnitude. It's just incredible, man. And that atmosphere, oh, my God. The atmosphere was stupid. I couldn't explain to you how much fun that was to watch that game. And then to watch them beat Notre Dame like that, I was shocked. I'm shocked that Notre Dame was number three with the passing game at this level of football and college football like that. I'm just shocked because they could not throw the football at all.
How much fun is that turnover chain, though?
Is that crazy how that thing has
been? Yeah. It's good for the team, isn't it?
It is so great. You know, it's so great to have it and try to tie in yesterday with tomorrow because, you know, we wore those ropes. You guys remember the rope I had when I first got to Dallas. So I also said that no one else, no other school could have come up with that. It would have looked, it wouldn't have looked, you know, genuine and everything. Nobody else but them in Miami. That's the only one that can do that and make it what it is. Are those dudes in Miami? And it's perfect, man. That turnover chain
sure is. It's a lot of fun. Have a great week, Mike. We'll catch up with you next time.
Yeah, it gives the guys on defense a chance to be the star. You know, we always talk about the offense and all of those guys. If those guys get that turnover, they get the chain. Man, we got to start thinking about the Cowboys coming up with something like that.
I'm
we
got to
come up with something. You know what I mean? Anything to make it fun and make you go get turnovers, we need to come up with.
Hey, let me ask you this. If the turnover chain had been there in the 80s, would it have helped convince you to play defense at all?
I don't think so, buddy.
Yeah. Man, they got a big old grin on their face when they get their hands on that thing, though. They are big men on campus.
They do. I love that. And I love that the defense get a chance to have that spotlight. And now they're even going to get the board drawing and drawing a statement on the board. It's just cool stuff. It's cool stuff.
Well, have a good one, man. Take care. There he is, the playmaker Michael Irvin with us. Usually Mondays at 12:20, he asked for an altering of the schedule, and we did that for him.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.